Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Let me read it. Strengthened with all might, according to God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. I'm going to be touching that word for quite a bit for the next few moments. Strengthened with all might, according to God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. Great endurance. And patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Endurance requires patience. It's a necessary trait. I've called this, for lack of maybe a better of something else, I've called this run with endurance. We're called to run. We're called to overcome. It's who we are. It's what we do once we've come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. I made this statement. Maybe you'll find it helpful. Failure to endure in your ministry, failure to endure in your marriage, failure to, lost my spot here now, in your job, all of these things have become normal. Normal, just common in our minds. A consistent, long-term obedience without periodic diversions into sin and unfruitfulness seems like an impossible dream. We just anticipate. We're not shocked that we just say, oh, yes, somebody else has fallen into sin. Somebody else has gotten themselves in trouble. And we never think that is that normal or is that abnormal? So sin has become so common, so expected, that holy believers are either elevated as heroes or dismissed as legalists. And so here's the word this morning. We must not shrink from hardships. We should endure with patience and thanksgiving and joy because we are followers of Christ. And we endure. Followers are by the grace of the Lord. From start to finish. What started my life in a little town in the prairies, God's plan was that it would go on and I would become stronger, you would become stronger in the things of the Lord from start to finish. So what's the normative? Well, we would repent quickly of our sins. If we see something that has marred our testimony or our lives, then we quickly confess to the Lord and moving forward in deeper devotion. Onward, upward. I used to know a fellow, he would say that to you. He'd say, well, Brother Owen, onward and upward. And I got that. That it wasn't to stagnate. It wasn't to stay still. I wasn't to think sin is normal. It's not normal, not in the kingdom of God. It's abnormal. So finishing well is one of the most important things that can happen in our lives. There will be dry times, I think. I think that's probably pretty typical in one way. Just dry periods. But not normally. It should be abnormal. We should be horrified in our hearts that we took our eyes off the cross and put them on ourselves. But there will be moments like that where we'll have, but they're just moments. The overall thing is for you and for me is to run well. That we would run eventually right into his arms. And we just say, I'm not going to take my eyes off the Lord. I am determined to follow Christ and that he would flow through my life, pressing on. One of my favorite Bob Dylan songs, that's the name of the song, Pressing On to the High Praise of God. It's I'm not singing it for you, but it describes my pressing on. I'm pressing on. I want to be saved that in this moment, in this year, of this moment of my life, I trust that I'm pushing on, overcoming, going to the next level, but not being content with normal Christian living where we expect sin to be just kind of ho-hum. That would be enough said about sin. But endurance is Christ's call to follow him. To finish strong. finish strong. Since from the day that he saved you till today. Just finish strong for God's glory. That's the point of it. It's so that we might present to the world a glorious God. A glorious God. We're not glorious. The church isn't glorious, but Christ is. And our job is through our lives is to present Jesus as somebody that you would want. We press in. We run the race. We run it with all of our heart and all of our might, all of our being. I'm glad I was. The Lord placed me on a journey, as he's placed you on a journey. And don't give up. Don't fall back. Who begun a good work in you, let him perform until the day of Jesus. I want to make sure in my own heart. We're talking about our hearts. In my own heart, I don't want to say, isn't it sad that he was running well and then not so well? Broken lives, problems in people's lives where it didn't get better, it got worse. But we have the promise of help. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. So whatever it is that I'm in my journey upward and onward, the Lord is there to guide me, because that's what he wants. He wants me to lean on him so that I can run and run and run and run the whole race right until Jesus puts his arms around us. So here's how I think it works out. Why is it that some people started with Jesus but didn't end with Jesus? I can remember a friend of mine who came into my office to tell me something. He was telling me that he'd come to, you know, on purpose to do this, that he said he was no longer a Christian. I said, what? What does that look like? Because he was, and seemingly quite devout. But he said, no, it's not for me. And he said, I no longer consider myself a Christian. I no longer consider Christ a Savior. He said, I have no time for this. I don't want this. And he said, I'm checking out. I said, so are you going to, what's better? Oh, he says, there's probably nothing better out there. But he said, I can't do it. Yeah, I remember crying for him. Because this was one bright, energetic person. He started, you know, just a messed up life, and the Lord brought him to himself, and now here he is renouncing it. So he stood in front of my desk and he said, "I now renounce Christianity." He said, "Are you sure you want to think about this?" "I've thought about it. It won't be for me." You know, that's not uncommon. I was horrified. I was horrified by the fact that this isn't going to get better. This is going to get worse for you. Because he needed the Lord. So we parted. He thanked me for friendship. I thanked him for being a friend. And then we went our separate ways. And I hadn't seen him for a number of years. And one day I run into him and I said, "It's so nice to see you." "Well," I said, "that's fantastic. How are you?" "Well, you know that passage," first thing he said, "you know that passage in Mark 9? "Yeah." I said, "Just a minute. You're not supposed to be enjoying that passage." I said, "You renounced it, right? What are you doing dabbling in it?" "Well, it seems that you can't get away from this stuff quite as quickly as you thought you could." Yeah, it's true. The Lord was the hound of heaven, padding after him till he caught him. And by the way, just so you know, he's serving the Lord and so is his family. But that journey into Gnosticism, or I don't know what else he was into, but I remember thinking, is it possible that you can turn your back? The answer is yes. Is it possible that you can not end well? Yes. See, there needs to be something very definite in your heart and your life, that your intention As Lord, my I can't pull it off. Jesus must pull it off for me. But Lord, my intention is to press on right till you take me home. No let up. Just straight on to that which he called me to. See, he called me, he called you to serve the living God. It's not an accident. You're not, salvation isn't the end of it. This is just the beginning of it. And so we endure. There are lots of things to endure. Oh, yes. Yeah. I think the people that get off, who start well but don't finish well, that their hour-to-hour and day-to-day choices set them up for spiritual distraction and failure. In other words, they're not doing anything that would ensure that they endure. They're maybe showing up at church, but it's even then it's hit and miss. There's nothing that says, no, this is what we do because I have no intention of falling or failing. By the grace of God. We add that, right? By the grace of God. There's no personal bragging here. You see, if you're going to endure, you must have a passion for Jesus. It's absolutely crucial that we have a passion for Jesus. And we must have this passion must be bigger than your passion for the cause or the church or your ministry. This thing has to be, this passion for Jesus has to be bigger than anything else going on in my life. And as I fan the flames of that, Lord, don't let the flame go out. Don't let the fire go out. Burn so brightly. Lord, if you see things in my life that aren't pleasing, that would hinder, that would trip me up, oh, dear Lord, do not let me be one of the pastors who didn't make it, 15 yards short of the finish line because he got discouraged or he fell into sin or he fell into some kind of disrepair of his life. You see, we're becoming someone. Every day of your life, every day of my life, you're becoming someone. The question is, who? Who? See, you are going to be what you are now becoming. It's the same for me. I am going to be that which I'm now becoming. Scripture speaks of this process of character development. You become like the one you choose to behold. And as I continue, and even as I was trying to follow the lead of the Spirit here this morning in my own heart, as I was saying, Lord, may this always be true. May it always be true that this is what you're putting your hand on me. You're filling me afresh today. When we come together to church, you know what's really crucial? That we build each other up in our holy faith. Why? So that nobody trips up. We're here. We're not here to sing songs. We're not here just to hear a sermon. We're here to build each other up that we can go on with great endurance. Whatever comes our way, we're pressing on. We're not worried because we have our eyes on the prize. We make choices every day. And we have to make choices that matter. Because you can't say, yeah, well, I knew people that got in trouble in their faith or their lack of faith. And but you can't be cavalier like that. Everything in the world depends on this, on the saints going from grace to grace, from glory to glory. It's easy to come, you see what I'm saying? It's easy to come to church and not progress. You know, you went to church, you can't remember anything about it, but you went to church actually there was no intention of growing. There has to be intention in the Christian life. I can't do it, but I can intend to do it. The Lord, my heart's desire is to finish so strong in you, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of all the good things. Make that your call. Make that your cry. And see what the Lord will do. You become like you choose to behold. Who you become will be the cumulative result of the daily choices you make. This coming week, I'm going to be making choices, and you're going to be making choices, and together we make choices all the time. All the time. Daily choices. And those choices determine whether, you see, you know, well, I don't know where I could say so many things about this. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the righteous, and what is it like? This journey that you are on, this journey that I'm on, so that we can ensure that we continue it, fanning the flames, pressing in, being a blessing, encouraging one another. Man, there's so many beautiful things that we can be a part of. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Now, watch how he uses the metaphor. Which shines brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day. There's a sunshine that's coming up. It's rising up. And we're on that journey. We're on that walk, aren't we? We're on that walk, and the sun's getting brighter. The dawn is brighter. And that full day will appear. In the meanwhile, we walk in that brightness. We're not going towards darkness, but brightness. And it's so fantastic. The path of the righteous, like the dawning of the sun. I'm so glad I'm on this path. Aren't you glad you could have been anywhere else? Had it not been for God, you would have been probably in severe trials, like many of us here. If it had it not been for the Lord, that's what they said about Israel, right? Had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be smiling here today. But that light is brightening. Your light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Mine is getting brighter and brighter. Why? Because I'm on the righteous path. I'm on the path that God guides and directs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Why? Because it's terribly dangerous. Do not linger where you shouldn't be lingering. You see, our choices flow out of our hearts. I'll say that again. Our choices flow out of our hearts. And my life, your life, will be a cumulative gathering of choices. Choices you made kneeling before the Lord saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you. We bless his name, and we minister to him, and we grow another little bit. Next morning you get up, Lord, today, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race to be run. There's victories to be run. And I need that strong in my heart. Lord, don't let me swerve. Don't let me take a wrong road with the best of intentions. I don't think anybody starts off veering off the road. That's just because the choices were wrong. And after years of bad choices, you made a left turn at Albuquerque. You're the wrong road, going the wrong direction. And any one of us, that'd be so easy to be here today and facing the wrong direction tomorrow. One choice away. And so, Lord, I'm pressing on. I'm going to make that a deliberate thing in my life, and I trust you'll do the same thing in your life, to see what the Lord will do, keeping us on track, enduring when you feel like giving up, enduring when you don't see too many advantages, what situations you're facing. But our hearts, our choices flow out of our hearts. And so what do? Keep your heart from contamination. Don't let it get contaminated. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows springs of life. Wow. That's why when I had a chance to share Jesus with somebody, it's not hard. All you have to do is tell them what happened in your life and how this you were on this path and God brought you over to this path. And you tell that story. We tell it over and over again about the springs of life that now flow from us. Of the living waters we're now in basking in the waters, and we're planning on doing that right until the Lord comes. I was thinking when you were at gathering, we were at the big gathering here last week. It was wonderful. It was a great, great gathering. And I flashed over it, Lord, not just for myself, but for me. Lord, keep us right on track. We're all partying with our presbyter. Partying with the presbyter there. That's Lord, may it not be too bad about so-and-so, too bad about that family. They got upset and they got resentful and they, you know, too bad. Oh, that's why we pray. That's why we pray that there won't be casualties on the highway of life. Psalm 1 is a powerful formula for endurance. You might want to just take a moment to read that, or this week to read it. You're reading already quite a bit, I'm sure. But Psalm 1 is a powerful formula for endurance. Following Christ-centered endurance doesn't just happen. No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen. I kind of maybe one time might have thought it did, but it doesn't just happen. It is the development of little habits. The development of little habits such as Bible reading and memorization, memorizing a verse. That's a great thing to do. And prayer and praise and fellowship, hanging around with people that are going somewhere in the Lord. All of these things. And how does it work then? You say, if that's true, that these little habits, again, cultivate the little habits. I know that any progress in my life over the last 30 years, any progress where I've drawn closer and become more godly and more sensitive to the Spirit, it's always been because of these little things, these little habits. And that's what we focus on. But here's how it works. We simply put one foot in front of the other one. We just determine that we're going to walk with the Lord and walk with the Lord and walk with the Lord, and I'm going to walk, and I'm declaring it to the devil. I'm declaring it to the universe where I live. And Lord, I am walking with the Lord. I'm pressing on. I have no intention of fading. I have no intention of somehow not having no vibrancy, no love for the kingdom of God or for the things of the Lord. Say, Lord, increase it. Increase my passion. Increase the passion of the hearts of the people at Valley Church. And as we do that, see, it's you know what they say? How do you eat an elephant? Yes, one bite at a time. That's exactly how you eat an elephant. One bite at a time. Thank you for that answer. It's just right. Day after day, doing the same thing. Isn't it? Doing the same thing. Getting up again, getting my coffee, getting my Bible, you know, little footnotes, whatever, however you do. And you commit your day to God and say, God, make this a great day. Make this a great day. Make it a day that honors you, and that they will see, the people in my life today will see your glory and will marvel at the wonder of our God. See, it needs to always come back and focus not on me and my progress, but on the Lord and who he is, that he would be glorified. And isn't that a great, Lord, glorify your name today. This day, glorify your name. That something great would happen through my life. We become the kind of person who grows and endures rather than withers and dies. I'm either dying or I'm growing. I'm either getting more full of the Holy Spirit or less of the Holy Spirit in my life. The scriptures are becoming more meaningful to me or less meaningful to me, depending on how I apply the scripture to my life. I think of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, verse 16. Here's what he says. Look carefully then. That's what the writer says. Look carefully. And so we look carefully. How you walk. Huh. Who knew? Right? Wow. Look carefully how you walk. Not as someone unwise. Well, we're not the sharpest people in the shed, are we? They're not the sharpest hoe in the shed. That's why we have to be doubly careful of where our feet are taking us. We have to be that. So look carefully then how you would walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time. Make good use of this time. And that we would pray together often, and to pray for one another, that we would have this great progression in our hearts, that we weren't a bunch of religious people who just got weirder as the days go on. That happens. People out of touch with reality. They're Christians, but they're not in touch with, they're not laying hold. I remember one man standing up in a church service, and he says, "Well, I thank God I've been on the road for 25 years. What he should have said, because we knew him, "I've been in the road for 25 years. Because everybody knew that that's what he was. He was in the road for 25 years, opposed everything in the church. And how do you get like that? How do you get weird like that? Where you oppose the things. The music, I'm against it. The teaching, I'm against it. How does that happen? It happens when you step out of reality and you're not allowing the Lord to help you with the choices. So these people make some choices, but it's not glorifying to the Lord. It doesn't bring glory to the Lord. And how do I know? Because I know these people. They've gone on. They've gone on, and they're with Jesus, no doubt, and it's all probably straightened out now. But may it never be said of us that we were in the road for 25 years. Let's make sure we say we're on the road, not in the road. What else can we add to this? Well, I know this to be absolutely true. Give Jesus first place in your life. Let that always be true. That we love him because he is a God that is worthy of being loved. Give Jesus first place in your life. Don't let your life happen. Just happen. Because it will happen one way or another. Don't just let it happen. Choose what you want to do with it. Or you will wonder where it went. You'll wonder where your life went. We choose these things. And I thought, wow, imagine that. Picking things for my life, because my life's going to be changed. I'm going to be there. And if it's just, if I ignore the little things, here's what I wrote. One day, we'll be with the person we were made for, living in the place we were made for, and joy will be the air that we breathe. What a challenge from Scripture. Be careful how you're walking, because the enemy, you know, the door ever opens ever so slowly with the enemy. He will wait for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year before he strikes. He'll wait until the church is at its fullness. And when we're all not, you know, we're all growing and all sharing and everything, all the good things. Bang! Another casualty. He was willing to wait for almost forever for the opportune time when leaderships collapse or where a church gets into some error. And you no way. He waits. Seeking whom he may devour. He's waiting to devour the saints. And that's why the saints must overcome. That's why we must endure. We endure. We strengthen ourselves. We look pressing onward, not letting up, being intense when it comes to the things of the Lord. And so let us run with endurance the race, that is, that's what it says from Hebrews. Let us run with endurance that race that is set before you. This great race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with endurance to press in. I wrote that with that word endurance. I wrote FM for me. Always apply the scriptures to your own heart first before you point to anybody. It starts here. And what a run with endurance. Press in, onward, upward, to make sure there's progress. There has to be progress. The whole Christian life is based on us being filled with the Spirit and refilled and outpouring our hearts to other people who need the Lord, and not taking anything for granted, practicing the little habits, making choices that matter, living a life that it's really enjoyable to you and to the Lord. His plan was that you would be overwhelmed with joy serving him. And because it is a great journey. And we were careful, we're cautious of things that that matter. So where will you be? And this is how I look at it. Where will you be 5 years from now? Where will I be? Where will any of us be? But right now I said, Lord, I'm going to run. You save me for a purpose. And I'm not going to stop until I feel your arms around me. You see, it's intentional. I want that in my own heart. Lord, don't let me grow cold. Don't let me become critical. Don't let me become inconsistent where I'm up and down. Lord, let me run the way you told us to run. I can't do it myself. And so the minute you confess that, right, that you're on the right road, then you say, now, Lord, I can't go anywhere without you. Without you, I can do nothing, not something, not a few things. He said, you can do nothing. And so we humbly bow our hearts and we say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow, Jesus. I want to be like you. I want to be like the majority of the saints at Valley Church. Lord, I want that. See, that's just a question as I close here. What do you want? How do you want it to be? It's going to be a certain way, one way or another. How do you want it to be? What would you like to see? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we said, Lord, I want God's will, and I want to please him with all of my heart, and I want to be used powerfully by the Lord. Good prayer. It's a really good prayer. That's what we want. That's what I want. And so we present ourselves as living sacrifices, saying, Lord, can't do it. I can't do it myself. I haven't got that ability. But I can yield. I say yes. I'm saying yes to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your plans. Yes to the right road. The righteous path. Yes. I say yes. And whether I live to be 70 or whether I live to be 7, well, I can't go any much higher than that. But regardless of that, it doesn't matter, young or old, there is a journey to be on, and the Lord is calling you to this journey. He's calling you to it. He's calling it to me. This is his plan. This is how it works. But it's full of good stuff. I was conscious of the couple. We refer to them as the married couple now. It couldn't help but we were all thinking of you and how happy, how wonderfully happy we are for you. So good. But I was just, as a pastor, I would say, Lord, they're starting the journey together. So put your hand upon them. I know that's what they want. It's great sharing, great testimonies last night. Why? Because they're just, the slate is plain right now. And so you say, Lord, this is our plan. We want your will. It's a wonderful thing to see a couple holding hands and wanting God's will. And some of you are single, and some of you are been married for a long time. But either way, we want God's will. That's our choice. We're making a choice. Today, I will serve the Lord. And devil, get out of the way. Remind me, I think I told you the story about this young convert. And he got out of bed and he said, well, he wasn't sure how to pray entirely. Hadn't done much of it. And he said, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, God the Father. Good morning. Good morning, Jesus Savior. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, devil. I'm up. Stand with me. Our Father, I hope that whatever's going on in hell this morning, I hope it's recorded. There was a congregation of people that took Christ very seriously. Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Take us to the next level. Use us in ways we've never been used before. Let this be a great journey. Lord, a wonderful journey together, praising you and serving you. We say yes to you today with our hands, Lord, out before you. We ask you to take our word here this morning, make it, flesh it out now in our lives. And Lord, again, I've said this so many times, but it's so true. You're the best thing that's ever happened to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.